Talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits, and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as always in these turbulent times, there's a lot of it being made every day, every minute, every second. The debt limit is going to be hit on January 19. We're going to run out of debt limit January 19. January 19 is next Thursday. That means that Congress, Federal Reserve, no one can do anything as far as anything financial after January 19, except for a few accounting tricks. And here's the dirty little secret. When the debt limit is hit, and it's now in the low 30 trillions, 32 or so trillion, when it's hit, and by the way, Donald Trump put 7 trillion of it on in his 4 years as president. So before Republicans start talking about the debt limit, keep that in mind. In any event, the dirty little secret about debt limits is when you hit them, there are accounting mechanisms to keep the government going for a period of time. There are accounting mechanisms, you know, shifting various expenditures and so on, that can keep it going for a limited period of time. Maybe a month, maybe 2 months. At some point, however, the government has to shut down. They can't issue paychecks to employees. So at one point when the Republicans ran the Congress and the presidency, they shut the debt limit. They shut the government down for about 45 days. The FBI didn't get paid. The Coast Guard didn't get paid. A lot of federal employees didn't get paid. Wilbur Ross, Trump's Secretary of Commerce, said, well, that's not so bad. Just go to the bank and borrow your salary, keep your family going, and then pay him back. You know, that was a contemptuous thing to say, a false thing to say. He's a wealthy guy. He's the guy who was the... He was a director of the Bank of Cyprus, which is one of the banks that Trump benefited from, has very close ties to Russian oligarchs. The average person can't go to the bank and borrow his paycheck. Simply not going to happen. It's not right. They work, secretaries, clerks, everybody works for the government. They should get paid. Pure and simple. They should get paid. So what's going to happen on December 19? This is not a way to run a budget. This is not a way to run a company. And this is not the way to run the United States. Because of the Republicans, we continually bump up to the debt limit. And at 5 p.m. on the date it's going to expire, they come up with some resolution. That's a costly way to do it. When the government is shut down for a period of time, costs billions of dollars, is a tactic that the Republicans are doing. And I want to explore that a little further right now, about some ways around it and what's leading up to this. You may have heard, I heard, that there was a three-page secret amendment to the House rules that McCarthy had negotiated with the Freedom Caucus to get him enough votes to put him over the top. He will do anything, okay? You may have heard that there was a three-page secret addendum. Well, one of the things in that secret addendum, apparently, as we were told, was that he would not permit the debt limit to be raised unless Biden agreed to cut Social Security and Medicare. Now the Republicans are saying, some of them, not all of them, there's not a three-page secret addendum. That's a myth. It's just a coincidence, for instance, that something like four of the insurrectionists and the Freedom Caucus candidates and opposers of McCarthy just happened to get appointed to the House Financial Services Committee and of the Appropriations Committee, which are the most influential committees along the Ways and Means in the whole Congress. Just a coincidence. Just a coincidence that they're not going to raise the debt limit unless Biden cuts Social Security and Medicare. Just a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidences, and I want to tell you something else from a legal point of view. You can have a contractual commitment to someone with a series of emails. Doesn't have to be a three-page addendum with a blue seal on it. What they're now saying is there's no three-page addendum with a blue seal on it. There's only a bunch of texts and emails. I've tried many cases, contract cases, where the contract is based on texts and emails. Doesn't matter what form it's in. He made promises, McCarthy did, to Gates, Lauren Boebert, Norman of South Carolina, all of these Biggs, all of these characters. And the chickens are now coming home to roost. What I expect to happen, because he has said, we will cut Social Security or Medicare, or we'll shut the government down. Remember something. The Russians have invaded Ukraine, are raping women, kidnapping children, taking them to Russia, force-feeding them Russian education, teaching them to hate Ukraine and hate their parents. That's going on right now. Women are being raped by the Wagner Group, the Chechen Islamic terrorists, and normal Russian troops right in front of their families. That's going on right now. The Ruskies are launching missiles into children's hospitals, into churches. Nobody's launching missiles into their children's hospitals or St. Basil's Cathedral in Moscow or St. Isaac's Cathedral in St. Petersburg. The genocide's going on, and if we shut the government down, it'll impair Biden's ability to give them arms to fight the coming Ruskies, the Mafia Ruskies. All of this is being done because McCarthy wanted to be speaker no matter what, because he made promises. Some of them now apparently were in emails and texts, and he's saying there wasn't a secret three-page document, but he doesn't say there weren't secret emails and texts. And mysteriously, magically, everything that he promised is coming to pass. Four or five of the worst of them are now on the Financial Services and Appropriations Committee. And next Thursday, they are going to demand that Biden agree, cut Social Security and Medicare, and they'll extend it for a week or 2 weeks, and they'll keep a noose around his neck. Now, there are a couple of ways to handle this. One way, I talked about this yesterday, two congressmen, one Democrat, one Republican from Pennsylvania, Boyle, the Democrat, Fitzgerald, the Republican, have lied to say that they would support a discharge petition. Because remember, McCarthy can't shut the government down by himself. What he can simply do is not permit an extension of the debt limit to come before the Congress to vote. But the Democrats have 213 votes. 218 votes would release the debt limit package to the House to be voted on, resulting in its extension and saving the government. That would mean that five Republicans would have to join the 213 Democrats. Fitzgerald of Pennsylvania said he'd be one of them. There are four of them in New York who haven't said they'd be one of them, but they're suddenly very skittish about getting reelected because they turned purple districts, conceivably Democratic districts, and they're doing some things that I like to see them. They're attacking this Santos, this corrupt guy who snuck into Staten Island representing them in the House without lying about everything, quite literally everything, including where his money came from. They're attacking him. They're distancing themselves from McCarthy. There are four people like that in California, and there are several others in Pennsylvania. And we have till next Thursday for Hakeem Jeffries and the rest of the Democrats to work on five Republicans for a discharge petition. That, to me, is the most likely happy resolution of this thing. But another resolution would be this. The last time this occurred, remember, the FBI and the Coast Guard didn't get paid. But what happens if the Army, Navy, and Marine Corps don't get paid? What happens if the Capitol Police don't get paid? What happens if Congress doesn't get paid? No one's going to shed any tears about that. But you can't grind the United States down while China is threatening Taiwan, Russia's threatening Ukraine and Eastern Europe. This sends a signal that we're weak and divided. Now, we're divided, certainly policy-wise, but we're a strong nation. What I would do, I've said this before, Biden probably won't do it. I would invoke the 14th Amendment, which says that the full faith and credit of the United States won't be impaired. Yes, it's in a very, very multifaceted amendment, extending due process and equal protection to the states, as well as from the federal government. Yes, it says that we're not going to recognize the debts of the Confederacy, and it goes back to the 1860. I know all of that, but it does say that the full faith and credit of the United States shall not be questioned. This money that's the debt limit was already voted on by Congress. It's been spent, a lot of it. The Republicans in Congress wanted a twofer vote. They wanted a vote to set aside money, allocate it, and expend it. And another vote to say, should we honor the paper that we issued to pay for this? Why should there be two votes? If we issue paper, bonds, we're obligated to pay for it. Why should the Republicans be able to say, I'm going to vote on the allocation and the expenditure and then boast about it in my home district, but then when it comes time to pay investors, I'm going to tell them, no way, Jose. That's not right. That's not normal. You wouldn't do that in any business in this country. That's what's going on right now. So stand by. Next Thursday, you're going to see a lot of action between now and Thursday. They're going to want cuts in Social Security and Medicare. McCarthy wants to save his worthless hide from these piranha, these hyenas that prowl around, jackals, taking a bite out of his rear end. And we're supposed to tolerate this? I think the discharge petition proposed by Boyle and Fitzgerald is smart. And these guys had better start working on it this weekend. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler, the gambler, the backbiter. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.
Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going to the lines, we're going to go in order. Do not hang up. I will take you in order. We're going to start with Allie of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling, Allie. What's on your mind?
Hey, Matt. Great show, as always. I just, like, every now and then it occurs to me when I listen to your show and I'm, like, yelling at the radio, people voted for these people. I mean, they were elected. I just, like... Don't people understand when you're voting Republican, this is what they're doing. You're voting for them to take away your Social Security, cut your health care. I mean, don't they understand that? I feel like Biden really needs to, like, make a big announcement, you know, like, oh, FYI, people, this is what's going on, you know? That's all I got today. Thanks, Matt.
Well, that's a very good point. And let me tell you a couple of examples. One is, as you know, because of the Republicans and because of that, they kept that Fred Pren on the, give you an example, on the DNR board, there's now cancer causing chemicals in the water throughout Wisconsin, right? The Eagle River paper, Republican paper, the sports editor blasted them, blasted the Republican Party and said they're putting cancer in the water, but they endorsed the Republicans for the election. If you are a hunter and a fisherman, and you're angry at cancer in the water, why do you vote for people who put cancer in the water? And the better example is the one you just gave. Many, many people rely on Social Security. I've had elderly relatives that relied on Social Security. About half the people in this country on Social Security, that's their main source of income. Why would you vote for somebody who's going to cut that and threatens to shut the government down unless you cut it. Why would you threaten? Why would you vote for somebody who threatens to shut the government down if you don't cut Medicare? Before Medicare was passed in the 60s, elderly people didn't, they had lower life expectancies. They didn't get medical care. Before Franklin Roosevelt in 1935, when he passed Social Security, elderly people, you know, lived with relatives. They lived in very squalid circumstances. Many of them didn't have enough food. Why are we talking about this? Why do we have to talk about this? And what they want to do, by the way, is not fiscally conservative. They've already voted for the allocations and the expenditures that contributed to the debt limit. What they don't want to do, they've demanded a second vote, is, yes, we issued bonds to pay for it. They don't want to pay the bonds. They want a default. Reasonable companies, honest companies, don't default on their bonds. That's what they're voting to do, is default on our bonds for something they've already done. Excellent call. Thanks. Jean of Eau Claire, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Jean?
Great callers, Matt. Great show as usual. You know, they have the history of going after the most vulnerable populations in our country. And they only work for one group. And they're multinational corporations. They put money into the, take tax dollars away from the most vulnerable people. And even though those people are still being charged taxes on everything they purchase, I mean, you get taxes on your phone bill, you get taxes on almost everything you do. And unfortunately, in everything you buy already, you pay some sales taxes. But the wealthiest people, they don't have to pay all those taxes. And they put the big tax breaks that they get right back into the coffers to elect these people again. We, you know, I mean, it's just like a big scam to the American people. And, you know, when people line up for hours or call their congressman, you know, of course, you're lucky if you get somebody to answer. But they don't give one iota about what we have to say. Nada, nada. But until we start voting them out and get together and talk to your families, talk to your breakfast club and say, we got to get these people out of here because they're not listening and they may be really great storytellers, but their actions speak louder than words.
No, you're right. And tell your breakfast club, look, do you want cancer in your water, cut Social Security and cut Medicare? Most people say, no, I don't want that. Well, how about doing something about it and don't vote for Republicans who do it? Gene, great call as always. Thank you. Wisco Paul, my friend. You're next. What's up, Wisco Paul?
Well, happy Friday to you, Matt. Gene always has good calls. The election deniers are running the country, or at least the Congress. That's a third of government, so that's kind of spooky. But Social Security is a safety net, and Medicare is an insurance, because once you get to be older than 65, you're not going to get insurance anywhere, period. No insurance company is going to insure you, and it keeps people off the street. So you have a great day, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. Good call as always. Right, and here's the thing. There was a time when there was no Social Security, no Medicare. In 1935, Social Security was enacted because of Franklin Roosevelt. The Supreme Court at the time were very Republican. They were tarantulas, just like we got now. And they had voted to invalidate on constitutional grounds the whole New Deal of Franklin Roosevelt. Franklin Roosevelt stood tall and he said, all right, you guys keep screwing around like that. The one thing in the Constitution you don't control, I can appoint seven more Supreme Court justices and I'll do it and I'll load them up so we get the right results. They got scared and there was one guy named Roberts, Owen Roberts. He was a tarantula Republican, but he switched. So narrowly, the constitutionality of Social Security was upheld. Do you understand that the Supreme Court almost said Social Security was unconstitutional because they were Republicans? Because of Social Security, people can live in dignity in their old age. They can rent an apartment, get some food, heated apartment. There was no Medicare until the mid-60s. If you had a disease, you hoped the doctor would do it for free or you died. That was it. over 65, or, you know, elderly people. When that was passed, you know, people have some money, will get supplements and they'll get extra coverage. But even if you can't afford any of that, you get basic medical care. Republicans want to get rid of it. Going to a break. The lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to talk quickly about a great promo that the station, that Civic Media, is running. And this is very exciting. It's a $1 million giveaway, advertising giveaway. It's only going to be on January 26th, Thursday at 9 a.m., starting at 9 a.m. all day, January 26th. Go on our website, civicmedia.us/million. To get the idea of all the details. There are not that many details. civicmedia.us/million. If you have a small business or any kind of business where you want to advertise, or you know somebody who does, have them fill out an application. It'll be on January 26, 9 a.m. on. You're talking about $1 million worth of advertising statewide, promoting your product, service, whatever it is, statewide with professional people at Civic Media drafting up the ad. This is a very, very big deal and a very good deal. So keep that in mind. And if you know somebody who's in a small business, you know, it can be any kind of small business or any business for that matter, but I mean, probably a small business, restaurant, car dealership, you know, repair facility, anything. Have them come in, have them dial in January 26th, Thursday, 9 a.m., do the application, go on the website and read about it a little more. And I'm very excited about this because small business can live or die on word of mouth, lives or dies on things like advertising. And to be part of a $1 million giveaway is a big deal. Very proud of this. I want to mention two things. One is a really weird thing that the Republican Party has done. I mean, even for them. And the other one is a piece of good news out of Michigan. So let's start with the weird thing that is strange, even for the Republican Party in Missouri. In Missouri. Remember, Harry Truman came from Missouri, the Show Me State. I'm from Missouri. Stubborn guy. Great president. Missouri has had great Democrats in the past. It doesn't right now, but in Missouri, believe it or not, the state legislature just passed a rule requiring women to cover their arms when they're in the state house chamber. Now, that's just plain strange, okay? Missouri, the legislature has just passed a rule requiring women to cover their arms if they're in the state house chamber. Now, look, these guys down there, they may, you know, find women's arms attractive. I think that's great, of course. Women are attractive. Deal with it, guy. Deal with it. You know, the Taliban requires women to cover their face. They have to wear a burqa and a covering on their face. Other countries require women to cover their hair, wear a hijab and all that. We don't have that kind of thing here. If you're worried about a woman, attractive woman coming in a bikini or something, so what? Okay. And no legislator is going to do that. And guests aren't going to do that. And why this obsession? I mean, quite seriously, why this obsession? Deal with it. But Missouri has now passed a rule requiring women to cover their arms in the state house chamber. Can't begin to tell you how strange I think that is and how unworthy of a legislature to even have to deal with that or talk about it. It's nothing to deal with. Piece of good news out of Michigan. It now looks as if Michigan may be the first state in 60 years to repeal its right to work law. Now, let me dig into that just a little bit. A right to work law, first of all, is a misnomer. It's a thing the Republicans push trying to make it sound attractive. It's not a right to work law. It's a right to get your paycheck cut law. That's all it is. What this comes back to, when you have labor unions, charge dues. They have to. You know, they're paying for their lobbyists. They're paying for the negotiating team that's negotiating with management for wages, for safety conditions. And without a right to work law, they can enter into a contract with management, which they frequently do and should, that says that all workers have to contribute their dues because they all benefit from higher wages and safer working conditions. To me, that's very reasonable. Very, very reasonable. It doesn't mean they have to agree with the union politically, but if their paycheck's going up and they have safer working conditions, the cost of achieving that should rightly be borne by all the workers in that particular facility. The Republicans came up with a thing called right to work. And what they say that says is that no worker can be forced, can be required to pay dues to a union, even if the union is getting them higher wages and safe working conditions. The problem with that is when those laws work, when they are put into effect, a lot of people figure, well, I can get the benefit of the higher wages and the safe working condition, not pay anything, and they don't. And it's really a financial hit to unions who are trying to stay alive, basically, and to do what they're supposed to do. Now, I'm going to tell you a couple of things. Labor unions are one of the principal reasons behind American prosperity and power in the 20th century and up till now. Before labor unions, and remember in the 19th century, you know, there's a thing here in Milwaukee, you should come and see it. I think it's called Puddler's Hall on the South Side. Sign of a labor fight where these Pinkertons came in and just shot strikers. In the 19th century, there were no labor laws. And employers would simply hire Pinkerton detectives to come in and rough up people who are striking and shoot them, kill them in some cases, in many cases. Over time, in the beginning of the 20th century, there was a recognition that good labor management relations were good for the economy, that it was the right thing to do. And of course, under the Democrats in the 30s and 40s, the various labor laws were passed that gave unions the right to organize. You know, you can't sue a labor union for striking. In the old days, they'd sue them for if they went on strike, saying that it damaged the company and all that. And there was an accommodation. Labor unions then started to charge dues, as they should. That paid the negotiating team. It paid their lobbyists in Washington. The reason why the middle class is affluent in this country compared to every other country in the world, in other words, is financially stable, in the great companies since the Second World War, paid good wages, people could take vacations, they could educate their kids, they could buy a summer cottage. They entered the middle class. The reason there's a middle class in the United States right now is because of labor unions. What happened after Ronald Reagan busted the air traffic controller union in the 1980s, you may not remember that, but the air traffic controller union went on strike. He fired them all, brought in replacement workers, and that was the start. And Republican candidates, everyone in this state right now, and I don't care whether it was Scott Walker, Michaels, all these congressmen, they believe in right to work, which means that it starves labor unions and they can't get support from all the employees. Now, Wisconsin and particularly Michigan had the strongest labor unions in the country. I mean, Michigan, that's the auto industry. But when the Republicans took over the legislature, they passed right to work. And then Scott Walker followed. And you don't remember this, but when he was up for re-election, remember he passed Act 10, which really gutted any collective bargaining by teachers and public employees. In 2014, he was running for a re-election, and some of the unions went to him and said, we'll support you, but you have to give your word that you will not sign a right to work law in Wisconsin. He said, you have my word. Then he stabbed them in the back and he signed it. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel in September, I think it was of 14 or 15, put an editorial out that said his word is no good. He did it because he was running for president. You remember that? 2016, he was running for president. He wanted to look like a conservative. So we in Michigan have a right to work law because of the Republicans. Well, Michigan just got control, the Democrats, of the legislature and the governorship back for the first time in 40 years. And it looks like now they will revoke their right to work law. The first people state to have passed it and then revoked it, I think, in 60 years. So stay tuned. This is a very, very good development. When we get fair maps in this state, fair maps, and we take the legislature back, the first thing I want to see a Democratic governor do in a Democratic legislature is revoke our right to work law. Because our right to work law, and you know, here, let me tell you something else that's unbelievable. I have friends in the construction industry, both in labor and in management. Labor and management in the construction industry like unions. Management likes unions because what unions do, carpenters, laborers, the rest of them, they train the employees. They train people to be carpenters. They train them to be laborers. I've toured their facilities. It's really terrific. You go into the laborers, you know, there'll be a work site that they set up at their expense with cranes and all this stuff to teach people how to do it. It's not easy to do this kind of stuff. Then when a building's going up, all the employer has to do is go down to the labor hall and say, all right, I need 6 laborers, 8 carpenters, and 3, say, machinists. And they send them to them. And when they're probationary, the employer has the right to let them go without getting into a big fuss about it. But they don't do that lightly. They want good people. So the construction management went to Walker in the Republican Party, and they said, at least exempt the construction industry from this law because we like labor unions. And you know what the Republicans said? Jump in the lake. That's what they said. They hate unions so much. They told management, as well as labor, jump in the lake. And you know what's gone on then? Management and unions in the construction sector have understandings about this, and they try to maintain pay the way it should be in safety conditions, and the labor unions still have a fair amount of input, the trades. Trades are terrific. But Michigan will now revoke right to work. Thank God, it's about time. We've got to do the same thing. The Republican Party, you have to understand this. The Republican Party will do things that deliberately injure the United States and injure the state and injure our economy to pander to their donors and stay in power. And I think it was Ali called in a little while ago and said, how can they do this? You know, how can people who have their Social Security cut, Medicare cut, still vote for them? Hire a psychiatrist and ask them. I don't know the answer to that. How do people who say they're hunters and fishermen still vote for people who put cancer chemicals in the water? How do people in labor unions, some of them, vote for them when they put in a right to work law and they lower wages and they impair safety conditions? All of that is happening. There was a time when there were Republicans who were pro-labor as well as management. There's no inconsistency between pro-labor and pro-management. Germany, one of its big post-war successes was setting up councils of management and labor who would work together, and management would take suggestions from labor. Labor wants to work. They want their suggestions listened to. They're the ones doing the work. Why not listen to them about how to make it more efficient? There's no inconsistency in that. But this adversarial attitude by the Republicans towards labor that's hurting the country. Give you some examples of some Republicans who had been very comfortable working with labor. Tommy Thompson, believe it or not. You know, he'd get up and he'd give these speeches and to the Republicans, but labor unions got along with them, liked them, and he understood how to cooperate with them. Lee Dreyfus was a Republican governor back in the early 80s. He understood it as well. Scott Walker has a very, very limited worldview and not a great deal of insight or, frankly, a great deal of learning. And he just doctrinaire said, we're going to get rid of labor unions. That's what the Republicans have done ever since 2010. You must understand that. That's got to change, and now it's changing in Michigan. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Now we go right to the lines. Adrian and Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind, Adrian?
Hey, Matt. Now, with the Republicans refusing to raise the debt limit, isn't that like me going out on a shopping spree and then stopping payment on the checks that I wrote?
Right. Adrian, you're hitting the nail on the head. Here's the deal. They went and spent $32 trillion. They already spent it, or they already allocated it. Virtually all of it's spent, and some of it's now in the pipeline. That can't be changed. That shouldn't be changed. They voted for it, but the Republicans insisted on doing two votes. You'd think that if they voted, it'd be like you, putting stuff on your credit card and then not wanting to pay your credit card. They voted for it. They went back to their districts and they boasted about it. They said, we're going to get a new bridge. Look at that. Look at new bridge right here in Mississippi. We're going to get a new bridge right here in Tennessee. Isn't that nice? A lot of you guys will be employed. That's terrific. And, you know, so forth. But then they insisted to do a second vote. And the Democrats said, now, wait a minute. To pay for those bridges, we needed money. And so we issued Treasury bonds. Investors bought some of those Treasury bonds. Some of you listening probably have some of that in your 401k or your 403b, whatever it is. If you earn money market funds or any of that nature, they invest in this kind of stuff. These are the most secure bonds in the world. They really are. Everybody wants them because they know the United States government's faith in there's full faith in credit under the 14th Amendment to pay it. But the Republicans wanted a second vote. They want to say, we want to go and boast that we built a new bridge in Mississippi. We want to boast that we built a new bridge in Tennessee. We do want the government to issue these bonds, these Treasury bonds. We want people to buy them so we can pay for the bridges. But we want to be able to vote now on whether we should honor the bonds. That's what they say. You know, let me tell you something. If at Christmas you went out and you put 10 grand on your credit cards or 5 grand and you bought a lot of expensive stuff, you can't tell the credit card company, now I'm not going to agree to pay it. Because what they do is they would certainly stop your credit and they'd sue you and you'd have to pay or go bankrupt. And in the bankruptcy laws, they added prohibitions that if you do it just before bankruptcy, you can't discharge it in bankruptcy. I don't want to get into all that. That's not normal. It's not honest. It's not the right thing to do. The Republicans are doing that. Now, the correct thing would be they'd say, all right, we're going to honor all of our debt, but going forward, we are going to make arguments on the floor of the Congress why we shouldn't do certain things, but if it passes, we're going to honor our debts. That is not what they are doing. And I'll tell you what, you hit the nail on the head. You hit the nail on the head. What's going on? And it's not right. Going back to the lines, Jake of Eureka, California, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Jake?
Hey, I got to say something, Matt, about these right-wing, racist Republican morons, these misogynists in the state of Missouri, who clearly have no justification for trying to ban bear arms in the state legislature there by the ladies. I'm just kind of confused. I don't understand. Is there something sexual about a woman's arm that I'm not aware of? This is like a foot fetish. It's something that Republican men have, some kind of obsession with ladies' arms. They're saying more about themselves by passing a law about like that than they are saying about any women in their state. And my question is, in a state where you had the former governor, the Republican governor, Eric Greitens, you know, basically exposed as a rapist and a criminal, they're not worried about that. But a lady exposing her arms, you know, we really need, as Democrats, we need to play hardball on this one. We need to set up some kind of fund where we go investigate these Republican politicians in Missouri to find out what's in their background sexually and make that public, since they're supposedly so holy and so close to Jesus down there in the state of Missouri.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. The sad thing about this is a number of the legislators who are women said, wait a minute, we bought a bunch of dresses, you know, for the upcoming session. Now we're, you know, but parts of our arm show. And, now we can't wear them. We got to buy new clothes, which I think is just wrong. Eric Greitens, the governor, the guy you're talking to, was the guy who kind of had a fetish for spanking waitresses, I think. What he would do is, this is the governor, and the Republicans threw him out of office right in the middle of a term. He had some relationship with somebody. I think she was a waitress or something, and I think he enjoyed spanking her. Well, you don't just spank somebody, okay? I mean, he was a Republican. I think what this is this fixation about what women wear and what is shown is kind of sick. I mean, deal with it, guys. I mean, you know, if that's women down there bought dresses and the legislature, and now they got to buy new clothes. I think that's wrong. Karina, my friend, thanks for calling. What's in your mind today, Karina?
Well, I'm confused, honestly. If you have a one budget, like a family, okay, government, family, one person, doesn't matter what it is. So why am I spending so much money to the other side of the world, whether it's for China or Ukraine, doesn't matter what it is, but I don't have enough money for my own elderly?
Yeah, Karina, here's the thing, though. The Russians are committing genocide in Ukraine. The Russians are acting like sadists. They are raping people. They are killing people. They're bombing hospitals. And the Ukrainians are a wonderful people, very strong. They're standing up. We cannot be isolationists. We have got to support Ukraine. We are supporting it because of Joe Biden. Republicans, some of them would like to cut them loose. And we're very capable of supporting our own country. But I'll tell you what, we are going to have to fight the Russians ourselves if they continue to push into Eastern Europe. And so we must support Ukraine. Thanks for calling. Shannon of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Shannon?
Hi, Matt. I just wanted to offer an alternative suggestion for this idea of not showing men in arms. I mean, it's funny, but actually it's kind of scary to me because I see it as them pandering first to the far-right evangelicals and showing them that they're willing to pass laws to pander to them. And I also see them as signaling to the far-right Christian nationalists, you know, that they're willing to bring back family values. That's my concern. It's not about how it looks to us. It's about how it looks to their base.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. And I think that there is a kind of a cultural war aspect to everything they do. But I just think it's flat out strange that you have, say, the Taliban saying women can't even show their faces. You have other societies saying they can't show their hair. What's this business of what they can show? I mean, really, what the hell? I mean, nobody wants to see my arms, okay? Nobody wants to see my arms. But if I want to show my arms, nobody's saying I can't. Why should we say that women have to buy new dresses with long sleeves? That is just plain weird. We got to, we're coming to the end of the show. Great show. Great callers, as always. Have a great weekend, everybody. Matt Flynn Direct will be back same time, same place on Monday. Signing off for today.
There ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground and I won't back down. No, I won't back down.